We're thinking tonight about serving together and about ministry, which the word ministry just basically means service, about ministry within a Christian family. And Jesus is the great example, of course, of a servant spirit that we are to copy in our individual lives, but also to copy within the life of our family. And we have this situation in the upper room. You can imagine the scene. The disciples are tired, their feet are tired, their feet are dirty and smelly, and they would just love someone to wash their feet. And probably Peter is thinking James should do it, James is thinking John should do it, John's thinking Andrew should do it, and so forth. And while they were busy thinking of this, Jesus, their master, gets up and washes their feet. And it says in this passage that Jesus shows the level of his love. He shows the extent of his love to his disciples at this time. And one of the important points here is Jesus stood out. He showed the others up. He was different. And in many ways, a Christian family are to be like that. We're to be different. We're to go by a different agenda, by different rules. We're to stand out as we seek to serve other people. In that chapter 6 in the book of Disciplines of a Godly Family, Kent and Barbara Hughes share some wonderful stories, and if you've got to, haven't read that chapter, do read it. Wonderful stories of the impact of their children in the lives of others. They have a friend who regularly came to their home over many years, and then years later, when the friend had moved away to another part of the country, they rang to speak about how they had come to Christ. There's a daughter, Heather, who had a friend who had cystic fibrosis and was dying with cystic fibrosis. But through Heather's influence, she came to profess faith in Christ before she died. There's a son, Kerry's junior high buddy, who came to faith in Jesus. And one of the amazing things in that story was that his father was a spiritist leader, not a spiritual leader, a spiritist, into tarot cards and all that sort of occult stuff. And that man who was into all those things, his son couldn't withstand the witness of this other young boy who loved Jesus. And the great impact that a family can have in the lives of others, even through children. So we're going to think about this serving together. First thing I want us to see is the power of family ministry, and really to encourage us to have a vision of what God can do through our families. And the first thing is that God works through families. When God is going to bring his whole work of salvation into this world, he does it through a family. God promised Abraham that through his family, all the world would be blessed. And the Old Testament is basically a story of how this family, over different generations, is used by God and preserved by God in order to fulfill this calling. God works through families. In many ways, a Christian family is like a mini church, which can do so much for the glory and the honor of the gospel. Secondly, Christian families are magnetic. Now, we were thinking a few weeks ago about the early church and how it was magnetic. It pulled people, drew people to themselves, because of the joy, the peace, the purity, the love that was so evident in their life together. And likewise, Christian families can draw others when they see the love, purity, and closeness that we have in our families. Now, that's not saying that our families are perfect or have to be perfect, but it does mean that our families, when the power of Jesus is moving in our families, others should see a difference. The users say Christian families that radiate spiritual life often have wonderful opportunities to share the love of Christ. Families are a great source of witness together. And those who don't come from a Christian family, when they come in through the doors of a Christian family, they should see there is a difference. They should see there's a love. They should see that there is a goodness there. The third point about the power of family ministry is parents care for their children. at a basic level, parents, I'm thinking here the parents we're trying to reach, the families we're trying to reach. Parents appreciate those who care for their children. And this can have a great impact on them when they see another family really caring for the children. But there can be a deeper aspect to this. Barbara and Kent, you say this, the miracle of birth often causes people to reflect on the eternal. The terrifying intensity of the love they feel for their children motivates other parents to consider their children's eternal destiny, even if they've never been concerned about their own. Think of the story in the Bible about Enoch. We don't know a lot about Enoch except that he walked with God and then God took him. But when did Enoch begin to walk with God? It was when Methuselah, the oldest man that's recorded, when Methuselah, his son, was born, Enoch began to walk with God. And we've even seen that happen in Brookside, where out of a concern for children, parents begin to send their kids to an organization, and then they're drawn after that themselves. Parents care for their children, for their needs now and their needs for eternity. And therefore, when we reach the kids, it can have a tremendous impact indeed. The fourth thing about this is children can be wonderfully open. When parents are often too reserved and too busy weighing up, should I say this or say that, young children can very naturally and very directly just speak about Jesus. I remember years ago in Uri, we were doing a Good News Club in an estate, and a wee boy there came along called Thomas. I think he was 8 years of age, and he didn't come from a Christian family. Thomas went home from a Good News Club and said to his granda, "Granda, you realize if you're not saved, you're not going to go to heaven." Just the directness of a kid to pass on what they have learned. In the book, the users share the story of their daughter, Holly, who when she was at kindergarten, which is probably sort of preschool over into the beginning of our primary school age group, she had a lovely kindergarten teacher called Susie Smith. And every single Friday, little Holly said to her kindergarten teacher, "Will you come to our church on Sunday?" Friday after Friday after Friday. She wasn't put up to this by her parents. This was her own thinking. She liked Miss Smith, and she'd love to see Miss Smith coming to her church and come to hear about Jesus. Eventually, Susie is worn down by Holly's continual requests, and she comes along, and she comes to know Jesus Christ over time and become a vital part in the service of that church. And all because the wee girl kept saying to her, "Will you not come to our church?" We shouldn't try and manipulate our children to say things. We shouldn't put them up to things. We don't have to do that. But we shouldn't, on the other hand, hold them back when they are going to be wonderfully open. I remember quite a number of years ago, Cherif and I were offered at one of these weekends in Cornwall. We got it very cheap, but part of the deal was we had to go on a Saturday morning to listen to this talk on sort of a timeshare holiday thing. Johanna was very young at that time. I think she was maybe about 3 at that stage. And the way it worked, it wasn't that you went to a meeting. The person who was the rep met you on the Saturday morning, and you had breakfast together. It was a buffet breakfast, and we were going up and down sort of in relays, and this lady was with us. It was sort of awkward in saying grace. And so I think for Cherif and I, we said, "Oh, we'll not say grace." And it was their thought up and down. And we went to start to eat. And of course, Johanna says, "We didn't say grace." And then we had to say to the lady, she showed us up. We had to say to the lady, "If you don't mind, we normally give thanks to God for our food." And so we prayed and give thanks to God for our food at Johanna's prompting. And the lady said this. She says, "I had never have been in the company of a prayer since my days at school." And she shared about going to a Catholic school, which she had a bad experience in. And just hopefully maybe even that wee conversation was one wee step in the right direction. And it all came from the openness of a child. Oh, we have a great opportunity to witness. We need to unleash our children on this world around us to be little lights shining that is so badly needed. So here we have the power of family ministry. I hope this excites you, and I hope you would indeed pray for this for your own family, that you will be an effective witness as you would serve. But let's think about the practice of family ministry. How do we minister as families? And this applies for those of us who are children, but it applies to other families who are maybe a bit more grown up. The first thing is have an open house, the users say. Being hospitable is a key characteristic of Christianity. And an open house can be an inconvenience. If you want a house in which everything is always in the right place, then don't have an open house. You have to realize you're growing children, you're not growing grass. Don't always go in the way. But an open house gives a great opportunity for blessing. And as well, if you are constantly inviting your children's friends to your house, as well as you having an opportunity to being a godly influence on these children as they come within your walls, it also means that as you as a Christian parent know who your children are mixing with and know where your children are at, and so it safeguards your children as well. So there's a great opportunity here in having an open house, inviting your children's friends around. I hope that you don't have a house with a sense the drawbridge is pulled up and you're not going to let people in. Let your children's friends in. You have a house that's open. Would you rather have your children late at night be sitting down in your living room with their friends or being out somewhere you don't know where they're at? Have an open house. Secondly, like your children's friends. A warm and caring attitude towards your children's friends can have eternal consequences. Taking a real and balanced interest, not being too intensive, of course, but a real and balanced interest in your children's friends is the right thing to do, but also can open doors which we couldn't imagine. And through our children, we'll have contacts with families we would not have contact with otherwise. So just take a real interest in and like your children's friends. Show them a love. Show them a kindness that will point them to Jesus. Thirdly, pray for other children. Our praying must not end with our own little family. The users say this, hearts that have room only for their own family are shriveled hearts, shamefully out of sync with the pulse of the master's heart. There's a real challenge here. Do you just pray for your own family and the kids within your own family circle? Do you pray for the kids that live in your state, live up and down your road? Do you pray for the kids that are in your children's classes in school? Do you pray for your children's friends that indeed Christ would be working in their lives? It is not by accident that God has brought these other friends into your children's lives. God has a purpose. God has a plan. We have people today who are part of our congregation who didn't come from Christian families but are part of our congregation today because of friendships with young people from this church. Pray for these children. What a mission field there is. What a mission field there is in your son, your daughter's classes, your nieces and nephews' classes, your grandchildren's classes. We should have a list of who's in their classes, and we should be praying for them. We should be praying for these children. Fourthly, be a source of neighborhood fun. We live in days when often you hear the complaint, there's not the same community spirit as there was years ago. Well, listen, Christian families have a great opportunity to be a godly catalyst. The users give some examples of how they did it with a pet parade and some carol singing and different things. I know growing up, we had two gardens at the back. We had a garden which was cut very nicely and had flowers and shrubs. And then behind that, we had a rougher garden, really a cultivated field, which had the football pitch in it. Which then became the tennis court, then became the cricket ground. And over the summertime, the back of our house was a hive of activity with different young ones from the area coming to go through the different activities that would take place. And you know, if your home, if your family is a source of great fun like that, that really smashes the stereotype of Christianity being something that's very negative, very dull, very boring. I remember when I was at university and studying engineering, we had to go for a field trip every year for a week down to Dundrum. And what would happen at night was that a lot of the people in the course would go into Dundrum to the different pubs. But there was about a dozen or so of us who were Christians who didn't go near the pubs. But instead, we would go into Newcastle at night to get a chip or something. And one of the lecturers would be very kind enough to take us on the minibus. And I remember what one of the lecturers said to us, you know, yous Christians are far noisier and rowdier coming home than those boys from the pub and that. As Christians, we knew what it was to have good fun. We knew what it was to have a good time together. And you know, our homes should be places of fun, the places where other kids would love to come to because they can see real life and real life of fun being so real. Fifthly, be kind to your neighbors, the user says. Children can be involved in little acts of kindness, such as baking and delivering cookies. In one of the previous chapters, Kent Hughes talks about a member of a man coming to visit him, and his daughter made some cookies for the man to have while he was chatting to her father and gave him a wee bag to take some home with. If you take some cookies or coming up to Christmas, take some wee mince pies or something around your neighborhood as a family. Now, if I take something to a house, it would have a certain impact. But if a little boy or little girl takes someone to a house with mom and dad stand behind them and says, please, sir, please, miss, this is for you. What a tremendous opportunity to break down barriers. One of the lovely things over the whole COVID lockdown, I would say we probably spoke to our neighbors over that time far more than we did in the previous 10 years. And sometimes it was through little acts of kindness. Be kind to your neighbors. Families can have a ministry of helping get groceries for the elderly or helping with prescriptions. And it's important to involve children in this. We're not just to bring our children up to be receiving, receiving, receiving. We're to train our children to give, to serve, to care for others. To care for others who they maybe wouldn't naturally think about. People like the elderly who live around us. And then the final point to share is be involved in the community. This can be in different ways, from sweeping a footpath, being involved in a school PTA or coaching a sports team. We do it through our church organizations, helps us in that as well. As a family, being involved in the community around us. And this is so vital. We often think about the gap between the church and the community as getting wider, and probably over COVID, we have seen that. And I would say one of the results of COVID up to now is that we have less non-Christians coming to church now than before. The gap often grows. And one of the ways we can close the gap between the church and the community is the Christian family in the community, sharing love and caring for people in the community around them. I think of some lovely stories I heard over COVID of some members of this church going around the different doors of their estate and saying to folk, listen, here's my number. If you need something from the shop or you need something from the chemist, let me know. Start maybe a wee WhatsApp group and that. What a way to impact the community. We need to think of different ways we can do this. All that what I've said there today, all those six ways I've said of being involved in this practical serving, it has to be done out of a genuine love and not just out of a desire for spiritual scalps. Jesus wasn't putting on a show when he washed the disciples' feet. Jesus had such a love for them which came from his relationship with the Father, that chapter teaches us. We need to pray that we have that growing love within our hearts, that growing love within our families, a growing love that reaches out to a dark and needy world around us. I hope this tonight has in some way whetted your attitude to see something of the potential for you as a family to do this. And can I encourage you as a family to read over the notes, to read over the different points about how we can learn, and discuss as a family even one thing you can do to be a witness in your community, to be a witness to those who your children indeed mix with in school. If we, every Christian family did that, think of the potential. Think of the opportunity. Think of how God could use us in that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and just thank you for the opportunities that we have to serve as families. And Father, we think of the words of Jesus that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Father, we say those things, and sometimes we believe it, and often we don't. But help us truly to understand, to be like Jesus, to have us giving, serving, servant spirit, Lord. Lord, what a blessing will come into our lives as individuals and as a family, Father, as we would do this. So, Father, whatever our situation is in life, Father, whether we're living by ourselves, whether we're a couple by ourselves, whether we have children grown up or children still at home, Father, help each of us just to think of how we can serve the community around us, how we can reach out into such a needy world that is on our doorstep. Father, we can do so little, but Father, with your grace, like the wee boy who gave the bread and the fish, so much can happen. Father, we just want on a wider scale, just want to pray today for our MPs. We want to think particularly, Father, of the Amos family after that terrible murder, and just pray that they would know your comfort and the grace of Christ being real, O God, in their lives at this time. We pray, Father, for those MPs who are very close to him. And Father, just pray that you would be their comfort and you would be their strength in these days. And even, Father, through his sudden parting, Father, from this scene of time, may it cause MPs to see their own vulnerability and to see their great need to be right with you, O God, through Christ. We pray for our local MPs. Just bless them. And for those who know Jesus, Father, Father, may they live and serve as MPs for Jesus, to glorify and to honor him. And in these days, Father, of great challenge and great concern among MPs, give them opportunities just to point to the hope that they have in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.